The questions start early.
How do I know when he's full?
Do babies hold grudges?
That's why we make one formula that feels right, right away. Backed by breast milk science and built for babies' brains, bellies, and beyond. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, I just want to warn you about something here. As we begin the program, it could get a little dicey. It could get a little dicey by the end of the week. And let me explain what I mean by that, because there will be no SNAP benefits for, some 42 million Americans. And when that happens, well, there have been rumblings on social media that people are going to storm the supermarkets, Walmart. There's some rumblings that even Walmart may close some of its stores on November 1st because there's just a lot of concern that you could have some very, well, hangry people out there, and they want their ho-hos, and they want their big 2-liter jugs of grape soda and strawberry. And they're going to get it no matter what. So we'll see how all this plays out. I do have a question for you. So all that to say, you might want to go grocery shopping like today. And you might want to be careful. I'm concerned about trick-or-treating on, what is it, Friday? Is that when Halloween is, on Friday? And so anyway, you're going to have all these kids knocking on your door saying trick-or-treat. Don't be surprised if some of those children, some of those trick-or-treaters are like, I don't know, 6'2", 300 pounds, and they're not after a Snickers bar. They want the ribeyes in the fridge. Do not be surprised. So it's going to get dicey, and, you know, there are some people predicting violence. I certainly hope not. But then again, you know how people get when they're hangry, right? Snickers did a whole commercial about that during the Super Bowl a few years back. You're just not yourself anymore. So I don't know. I would hoard candy. That's what I would do. Just hoard your candy. So the other part of this whole story that's just mind-boggling to me is that 42 million Americans, 42 million Americans are on some form of government assistance. What has happened to our country, ladies and gentlemen? Now, I get it if you were, you know, born with no legs and no arms and you can't see and you can't hear, yeah, you're probably going to need a helping hand from the government. That's what it's there for. Or if you're like, you're a little orphan child and you've got no, you know, mommy or daddy, that's what all of this is there for, to help the most needy, the less fortunate. But is it possible that we've just got a generation of lazy lard butts? Is that possible here? I don't mean to be uncharitable. I don't mean to be unchristlike. I did miss church yesterday, so I could be a little bit rowdier than usual. But I'm just wondering, what has happened to our country where 42 million Americans are on some form of government assistance? Now, I'm not a hoarder. I'm not a prepper. But I do believe in being prepared, and one of the things that I love watching are these documentaries on the people that are preppers, and all the things they go to make sure they have, you know, their secret underground bunker, and it's stocked with enough Vienna sausages and saltine crackers to last for, you know, a millennia, and people are really into that. And Dylan, I've been thinking about going out and somewhere, maybe North Mississippi, getting a bunker. And
you should.
I'm not going to tell anybody where it is.
You should put the indoor pool in there, like I've seen some of these people.
Some of them do have indoor pools.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are like multi-stories and It's very nice.
They're very prepared.
Well, you got to be. And you know why you got to be? Because what we're about to see unfold is how quickly humanity will unravel. When the groceries dry up, it's over. I mean, people are going to be running around like cannibals. You know who I feel bad for, Dylan? I'm going to tell you who I feel bad for. I feel bad for the animals at the zoo. Because you know what's going to happen. It's going to be next weekend, and everybody's going to barbecue, and there's nothing there. They got no food stamps. So they're going down. They're going down with the AR-15s, the Glocks, and they're going to have some barbecued zebra. Maybe a puma.
Very exotic.
You got to be fast. Those pumas will get you.
Well, don't go into the lions then either.
Oh, that's true.
They'll fight back.
They will.
Or bears.
Bears. Yeah. And you got to hit them right between the eyes, or you know, it's not gonna matter.
There you go. But zoo workers should just unleash the zoo on the people trying to.
I think they're hibernating right now, though.
They might be.
All right. Well, anyway, so all that to say, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get weird around here. So don't freak out. But I do wonder what's happened to the work ethic in America. Really? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, President Trump earlier today on Air Force One told reporters that he would love the opportunity to run for a third term in office. And he was pretty direct about it. He said he would just love to run in 2028. And he would like to seek a third term. Now, the question is, how could he do that? Because he's not ruling it out, but how can he do that? Now, the original thought was, well, he could run as J.D. Vance's vice president, and then they can flip-flop once they get elected. But Trump, he put the kibosh on that. He said, no, that's not going to happen. That's just not the way to do it. He thinks the American people would really be upset. The president also told NBC News that he was not joking about a possible third term. Steve Bannon's been talking about this for a very long time, and there was a paper over the weekend. There was a secret paper leaked that would lay out the plans for a third term and how Trump could do the work around there. So the president, again, says he's not joking, and we understand the 22nd Amendment says very clearly, no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice. So, I don't know, if you're looking for some wiggle room right away, I have a possible out. The president could identify as something other than a person. I mean, that's doable, right? I mean, nobody even on the other side of the aisle even knows what a woman is. So what if the president could identify, I don't know, as a golf club or a tree? And maybe that's the workaround here. I don't know. But the president did say that the power ticket, that if there was going to be, you know, if there was going to be movement after all of this, and he doesn't run again for a third term, he thinks that the J.D. Vance-Marco Rubio combo is the winning ticket. And I like Rubio. I think Rubio would make a tremendous president. I don't know if J.D. Vance is ready yet. Maybe he is. But I like Rubio and the fact that he's doing, 18 jobs now? I mean, it's insane. In his off hours, they got him washing dishes down at the White House mess. I mean, the guy's all over the place. But Rubio has really surprised, I think, just about everybody in the MAGA world at how well and how competent he is at doing his job. And Rubio is not out there looking for the cameras. He's not causing all the drama, the controversy that you see over at DOJ. He is doing the job, and that's it. And I think Trump appreciates that because Rubio is loyal, and Rubio knows how to read the room. And when you're in the Oval, the only person in that Oval that matters is Donald J. Trump. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, it's a two-pronged question. What do you think about President Trump? Should he Should he try to find a way to run for a third term? Would you like for him to do that? And if he decides not to, what do you think about a Rubio Vance or a Vance Rubio ticket? All right, our number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or health care. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia, starting our day with Jack listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Jack. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I have an answer for all three of the questions you asked. One, being the work ethic of our culture, our people. We do have a problem in our country. It's a cultural problem where there is a portion of our society who has made a way of life off government handouts, government subsidies, and the bare minimum. And it's a problem that is a burden on the taxpayer and on our economy, that our government has to fund and put out an enormous amount of money every month to maintain a way of life for those that don't want to help themselves. On the opposite side of that, I have to say, I have a daughter that's a sophomore, a son that's a freshman in high school, and they see the struggles that their mother and I are going through. They realize that they probably will never own a home. Healthcare is unaffordable. Housing is unaffordable. The average new car is over $50,000. So when I try to explain to them you need to go to college or get into a trade, you're still not going to be able to afford it. Who can afford $4,000 or $5,000 a month for a new home when our average home price in Georgia is $550,000? That's unrealistic.
Jack, Jack, what do you tell your kids, and what do you think's causing all of this?
My personal opinion is corrupt capitalism. That's what I have begun to realize, that it doesn't matter how much you work. BlackRock is buying up 30 to 40% the last 2 years of home sales are BlackRock. And then they sell the house next to it that they also own to one of their shell companies, and now they have just brought up the average home price in our area. At the same time, because now home prices have went up in our area. When BlackRock sold the hundreds of houses they own in our area to one of their shell companies, they now have brought up the average home price. So all the homes have now come up to this price. So it's very hard when you try to explain to your children, go to college, get an education, get into the trade, work 60, 70, 80 hours a week to struggle. And that's your future.
Is that what's happening? I'm just wondering if you're hearing that from other parents, that their kids are facing that same circumstance. We've been hearing it from college conservative kids who are saying, this is a problem, and nobody in the administration really wants to hear our concerns on this.
Our administration is very out of touch with the actual American people. If you're working class, lower income, working class, struggling to make it, even if you're making $100,000 a year, the administration is completely out of touch with the American people. We are struggling. At the same time, we see our country, our government giving money to other countries, funding foreign projects. What is happening for us? Nothing. And then as far as when you look at what's actually happening domestically, like the EBT possibly, you know, not being funded, the SNAP this weekend. Now my wife and kids are in harm's way to simply go to the store to go grocery shopping. It is not better now than it was 11 months ago. It is continuously uncertainty. It is continuously getting more dangerous, getting more hostile, and nothing's being done for the American people.
What do you mean nothing is being done for the American people?
Well, for example, Trump gets out there and says, oh, home prices are down. People are making more money. People are not making more money. People are being laid off. Many businesses are being laid off. My wife works in the medical field. For example, here in Gainesville, population is probably 50% Hispanic. They're being sent home early. because they do not need all the nurses that are working there, because so many people are not coming to the ER anymore because there are fewer deportation and enforcement actions. So our income is coming down. The nurses are being sent home early. So then my wife gets a second job at a surgical center. People are not paying for elective surgery because they can't afford the health care, because their deductible is $5,500 on top of the $5,000 to $10,000 they're already paying a year for their health care. So people are not getting surgery. So it's affecting everybody. It's not just where you can say, oh, we're targeting this, or it's this specific income level of cutting off the EBT or cutting off the funding or cutting back on Medicare or Social Security. It's affecting everybody. And there's no communication, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel for the American people that our administration is actually doing something to make life better or more obtainable for us.
Well, yes. The administration can't do anything right now because the Democrats are holding the entire country hostage. I mean, that's just the reality when it comes down to the EBTs and not being able to pay federal workers. I mean, that's entirely on the Democrats.
But I have to ask the same question. So with the tariffs that are coming in that Trump touted were going to be so great, where are the manufacturing jobs that were coming with that?
Well, that's not going to happen overnight. Jack, it's not magic. That just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, this country was in such dire economic straits. It is going to take some time, and inflation is coming down, but it's not coming down fast enough, but it will come down. And right now, I mean, we're what, not even a year into the administration. So it's going to take some time, and maybe the administration could have done a better job of communicating that message to the American people. But again, I'm just hearing this from so many different corners of the conservative world, and I don't know if you're conservative or not, but I'm hearing it from the conservative corners of the world, and they're explaining it the same way you did. And it's not good enough. And hear me on this, because I know we're going to get calls and people are going to say, well, you know, the reality is the kids just, you know, have high expectations. No, I don't think they do. I think when you're looking at a starter home and you can't even afford a starter home with a college degree and a job, that is a problem. And we've got to resolve that. Jack, I've got to run. Thank you for that call. Let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind?
Well, I really appreciate that call you just had. But anyway, you was asking about a run for 2024, about a Rubio and Vance. I'm okay with Rubio, I think, but I'm not at all okay with Vance. I'd hate to see him get it.
Why is that?
Todd, bear with me. I'm not throwing stones. But this nation, as you know more than I do, was founded as a Protestant Christian nation. We've only had two Catholic presidents in the history of America, and both of them, they tell me, had to win. America has refused to elect a Catholic president. Vance was not Catholic before the election. He switched afterward. After the election, he switched to Catholicism. He was Protestant prior to the election. That's underhanded. They knew he was going to do that.
Richard,
I don't appreciate that.
Can I ask you a question? What is that?
Yes.
What is that noise in the background?
That's a rooster crowing.
Oh, gotcha. All right. I didn't. Wow. All right. So you have.
Sorry about that.
No. Don't apologize. I mean, it's the rooster doing the squawking. So, well, look, the computer's going to cut us off here, Richard. Look, I don't think that is a disqualifying thing. I really don't. But to your point, JFK and Joe Biden, the two Catholic presidents, and that didn't end up very well. Then again, we had a couple of Baptist presidents that were even worse. So go figure. All right. I got to run, Richard, and say hello to that rooster. 901-260-5926, our number. You know that feeling when nausea hits and everything else just stops, like plans are ruined? You're sweaty, dizzy, you just want to curl up and disappear. Look, I've been there before, I can tell you, but let me say this. Our next sponsor has literally changed my life. It's called Relief Band. If you got nauseous, even just a little bit, it's a game changer. Relief Band is the original anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and actually prevents nausea and vomiting from motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, even chemo. And the best part, it's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, works in minutes before or after symptoms start, no side effects, no pills. It's seriously just a band you wear on your wrist, and you can adjust the intensity depending on how you're feeling. And it's not magic, it's science. Relief Band was developed for hospitals, FDA approved, clinically proven, and recommended by doctors, and that's why I trust it. I'm super mindful about what goes in my body, so I love that I can feel better without popping a pill. If you're still not convinced, well, Michael, a listener from Memphis, said the Relief Band is the first product that eliminated my motion sickness. I've tried the pills, the patch, the pressure bands. None of them worked like this. It's already helped over a million people feel better fast, and it can help you too. So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, go to reliefband.com, use promo code STARNS, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. That's R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com, promo code STARNS. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us, and thank you for joining us on this Monday edition of the program. There is a very disturbing story out of California, and it is reverberating across the nation. Any of you who are driving right now, you should be very alarmed at this news. But the latest federal audit found that California issued 62,000 CDLs to illegal aliens. Again, 62,000 people, ladies and gentlemen, who may be on the roadways at this very hour. They don't know how to speak English. They don't know how to read our language, and they are very dangerous. We've already seen so many people killed, Americans killed on American highways at the hands of these illegal alien drivers. Well, our next guest wants to do something about that. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois. Congresswoman, good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for highlighting this very important subject.
Well, I know that you've been all over this, because, and you knew where all of this was going because you introduced legislation that would actually crack down on these illegals getting these CDLs.
Yes, it's called the Safe Driving Laws Act, and I do have to say that there are other bills out there, but my bill is significant because it has teeth in it. And we all know that there are evil people that are not motivated to do what's right for the American people unless it hurts in the pocketbook or in their budget. So my bill is going to rescind federal funding dollars to states that are not complying with President Trump's executive order and Secretary Duffy's emergency orders about allowing illegals and non-English-speaking drivers to get licenses.
I mean, it's a common-sense thing here, Congresswoman, and we've heard the administration promising to crack down on the sanctuary cities and people that are harboring these illegals, and yet not much has been done, if anything. And I know, I don't know, some people may be impatient here, but it just seems to me we need to start seeing some action when it comes to punishing these communities and these blue states that just simply are disobeying the president's executive orders.
Yes, of course, Illinois, sanctuary state. You can come here, and if you don't have IDs, if you're illegal, you can sign an affidavit of who you are. You get a driver's license that has nothing on it to discriminate that you are not legal. They have made it, they have passed. Pritzker has passed laws or rules, whatever he does, disallowing law enforcement from asking people when they're pulled over whether they're legal or not. But then they're using that driver's license to get a CDL. And I have traveled my district. It's 35 counties in central Illinois. I dress in plain clothes. I don't identify myself, but I go up to the cashier. And my question is, how many of your drivers speak no English? And every single time the cashier tells me almost all of them. And this is so alarming. It is egregious. I can't even fathom how dangerous our interstates are. I want to encourage people, citizens, to contact the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. There is a hotline where they can report things that they think are suspicious or dangerous. If they know that there's a non-English speaking driver, it's 1-888-DOT-SAFT. And I encourage people to report.
Congresswoman Mary Miller on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You mentioned the governor. I know Stephen Miller over at the White House really angry at J.B. Pritzker and suggested that he ought to be arrested for sedition. He's accusing the governor of engaging in a criminal conspiracy against the United States when it comes to interfering with these ICE agents. Do you think the White House is onto something here?
I totally agree with Stephen Miller, and it is in my opinion that Governor Pritzker and Mayor Johnson are inciting violence. Violent speech is not protected speech, and Illinois is violating federal laws by making us a sanctuary state, by hindering ICE from being able to arrest the criminal illegals, and in my opinion, they should be prosecuted. Now, you know, Congress, technically, we don't have indictment authority, but I hope the Justice Department can get onto this and go after them, make an example out of them.
I want to move on to another big story we've been following, which, of course, this government shutdown, the Schumer shutdown, to be exact. We understand that SNAP funding is going to expire across much of the country, if not all the country, by November 1. What are you hearing from your constituents in Illinois?
Well, everybody's concerned about the beneficiaries of SNAP. And, you know, I know our pastor and the food bank here that we're, you know, trying to prepare to be able to be better equipped to help people that need help. But the people in my district want us to hold strong. They don't want us to bend to the Democrats who are making ridiculous demands. They want us to give government, they want us to give taxpayer-funded benefits to illegals. They want to spend $1.5 trillion more dollars. They want to undo the rescissions that have been made. And it's there again, egregious, ridiculous requests. And the constituents in my district want us to hold strong.
I think the issue for me is that just the sheer magnitude of how many Americans are getting some form of government assistance. What is going on in our country? I mean, I get it if you're truly in need, but I suspect a lot of able-bodied Americans are actually getting a handout from the taxpayers.
Absolutely. And there's so much room for reform here. And we need to start exalting the things that made our country great, which is faith and family and work. We need to bring back a work ethic. You know, people have circumstances in life. They might have health problems or whatever. They lose a job and they need help. Nobody's, you know, opposed to giving someone a hand up. And it should always be a hand out. They should not be on it for a lifetime or for decades. This is ridiculous. We have to reform these programs. In light of SNAP, I've been outspoken because, to me, we should give people what they need, not necessarily what they want. And we should give them what they need to stay alive until they can get off of SNAP. They should not be allowed to take SNAP dollars and go in and purchase sugary drinks and all this unnutritious food. It's bankrupting our country. We cannot afford it.
You know, Congresswoman, we've had a lot of conservative young people on over the past couple of weeks, and they're so excited about the movement and being a conservative, being a Republican. But to the person, they've all been telling me the same thing that I'm hearing from other callers, that they're just having a hard time, you know, getting that start. You know, their, you know, housing is unaffordable. They're really struggling to pay their bills. Are you hearing this in your congressional district as well? And is that something that concerns you?
Yes, it does concern me, and I am hearing it. But I want to remind people that President Trump inherited a disaster. Joe Biden, he committed treason, opening our border, signing millions of people up for taxpayer-funded benefits that should be, which I've been a very strong advocate for, only available to U.S. citizens. But President Trump is working tirelessly to fix the problem. I believe part of the shutdown, it's completely selfish. It's political. The Democrats are trying to pander to the far left, and they're trying to drag President Trump's agenda. And we've got elections coming up. I want to tell people you've got to get to the polls. We cannot allow the Democrats to get control again. President Trump needs more time to fix these problems that have been percolating for a long time. I mean, under Joe Biden, you know, they you know, really amped up the damage that was done to our country, but it has been, whether it's trade or open borders, whatever, this has been going on for a long time. So President Trump is working tirelessly. We need to do something about housing, but deporting, if we can deport 10 to 20 million people or get them to self-deport, we will have a lot more housing available. And 100% non-citizens should not be belling up to taxpayer-funded benefits.
Yeah, well said. I like to hear that messaging. Real quick, Congresswoman, I want to give that number, give you a chance to give that number out again. And folks, this is very important. And I know many of you, I've seen it personally. You've seen these erratic, big rigs driving down the interstate. And if you see something, you need to be reporting that. Congresswoman Miller, where can people call to get that information?
Yes, it's the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration hotline, 1-888-DOT-SAFT, and definitely report any non-English speakers or any erratic driving, anything that you believe is unsafe. I do want to tell people that, you know, obviously a lot of state workers are furloughed, and they should not give up. If the government's closed now, it may be open later on this week or next week. So please tuck that number away somewhere, and please get, we need citizens to report.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Congresswoman Mary Miller, we appreciate the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, there you go. A lot to figure out there and sort out with Congresswoman Mary Miller, this government shutdown, the Schumer shutdown, and it's going to get ugly. But you did hear her say that the government may be opening in the next week or so. That is all contingent upon whether or not the Democrats actually decide to wave the white flag of surrender, because the Republicans sure are not doing that. And, of course, she's also introduced legislation that would crack down on the sanctuary states that are issuing these CDL licenses to illegals. And I cannot be the only one that's seen these drivers out there on the roadways. It is just insane. All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever, with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
All
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Charles in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Charles, what's up?
Hey, Todd, happy Monday to you.
Thank you, sir.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Trump 2028 running for president and the 22nd Amendment. And it also, I think, is kind of related to what the congresswoman was talking about just a few minutes ago as far as the damage that Joe Biden did. As much as I get why Trump wants to run in 2028 again, and I feel like that he was robbed of the 2020 election, that there was election interference, that it was stolen. And the damage that was done by Joe Biden with the 13 million illegal aliens or more, rampant inflation, which is why young people cannot buy houses or afford food or, you know, get started. He literally burned the house down, and you can't clean that up in one term. However, I think it would be extremely divisive if he tried to run in 2028 with the language of the 22nd Amendment. I've read it many times, and I don't know how you're going to get around that. But Todd, I have another idea that I think would maybe serve the same purpose, maybe not quite be so divisive, and I wanted to get your take on it. But knowing what we know now about the 2020 election and everything that's still coming out with Arctic frost, everything, what would you think about the Congress passing a resolution in the House and the Senate, simple majority, that just pretty much says if once you do an investigation into the election, pretty much that Joe Biden was never legitimately elected president, and furthermore, he never legitimately served as president. And every piece of legislation that he ever signed, Inflation Reduction Act, America Rescue Plan, that, including all the judicial appointments that he made, including Ketanji Brown Jackson, all the executive orders that he signed, how about if Congress passed a resolution declaring every one of those null and void, and then Donald Trump gets to go back in and make all the appointments and everything?
Well, it's a brilliant strategy. Of course, that's clearly never been done before. So the question is, what would that look like? What are the legalities around all of that? But you're saying that, and of course, many of us, myself included, do not believe that Joe Biden was actually running his administration. It was the auto pen that was running the administration. I think an argument could be made in court. Now the question is, what would they do with that?
Well, exactly. I mean, these are unprecedented times, and I think if you could go back 80 years ago when the 22nd Amendment was ratified by the states, I don't think that nobody then would have ever thought that in 2020 that you would have a presidential coup, and that you would have a collusion between the media, the government agencies, to sabotage an American president. And there has to be some type of remedy there, Todd. I mean, just to say that it happened, that it was stolen, that Biden was never, in charge of his office, that's one thing. But what do you do about it? And you can't go back and make that up. And I think that if Trump tried to run again in 2028, I mean, it could, irreparably split the country. We're close to that point anyway. But, to an open war. But in my opinion, I just think if you did something that I'm suggesting that nullified, pretty much aborted Joe Biden's whole presidency, that and everything that he ever did, and Trump got to replace the hundreds of federal judges, got to make a new Supreme Court appointment, it's not going to undo the damage that Joe Biden did, but it'll certainly, I think it would go a long way in helping course correct
the
country.
Well, Charles, you've certainly given us something to think about here, and we think we will, and always good hearing from you. I don't know if there is any legal remedy. Can you go back in and just declare everything that was done in the Biden administration? Is that like, I don't know, Bobby Ewing's shower scene? It was just all a dream. Any of you Dallas fans remember that? So the previous season just never happened. I don't know. But I do know this, that the work that President Trump is facing rebuilding the country is going to take longer than a single four-year term. So it's going to take a lot longer than that. And so the question at that point is, okay, who will carry the mantle? Because, I mean, when you look at the 22nd, it's pretty darn clear what it says. And I have no doubt that President Trump would love to run for office again. But we need to be looking, I think, at a successor. Who is the person that will carry the flag, the America First flag, into, you know, the next term in office, into 2028? I mean, that's the big question. But let me just say this. If we don't get this economy somehow going in the right direction so that young people can afford to buy homes, we could be facing a problem in the midterms. We'll talk more about that coming up. Harry Hurley from WPG in New Jersey weighing in on the governor's race there right after this. We'll be right back, everybody.
The public is invited to a pre-hearing open house and combined public hearing to review and provide input on the proposed project to extend Jacksonville Parkway from Western Boulevard to New Bern Highway, which is intended to improve overall mobility in the area. The public meeting and hearing will be held on October 28th at Jacksonville Commons Elementary School, located at 1121 Commons Drive North in Jacksonville. The pre-hearing open house begins at 5:30 and the formal hearing begins promptly at 6:30 p.m.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us. So our good friend Harry Hurley, he is the king of talk radio in Atlantic City, New Jersey. WPG is the talk radio station, not only on AM, but also FM. And Harry's voice is heard across, from Philadelphia to the boardwalk. And Harry has uncovered what could very well be the most damning scandal of the gubernatorial race. I want to bring Harry into the program on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Harry, I'm stunned by what you have written on WPGTalkRadio.com. But first, my friend, it is good to hear from you. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well, Todd. Great to be on the Todd Starnes Show.
So, Harry, I think we need to cut right to the chase. Look, this, what you wrote about has upended many a career in political history. I go back to Mitt Romney, when he came down south and he was given a delicious piece of juicy fried chicken, and Mitt Romney discarded the skin and set it aside and created a national controversy. And then there was Bill de Blasio eating the slice in Staten Island with a knife and fork. And now you understand the governor, the Democrat candidate in New Jersey has now attacked the beloved New Jersey pork roll. What is going on?
Todd, who would believe that there would be a U.S. Naval Academy cheating scandal, millions of dollars in stock market trades still not explained, contributions alleged by a member of the Chinese Communist Party, and that it might be Taylor pork roll that could bring the whole thing down? Who would believe this, Todd?
So I think we have to establish what exactly a pork roll is, because I think it's a uniquely, it's kind of like chitlins in the South. It's sort of unique to the culture. What is a pork roll, Harry Hurley?
Well, okay, it used to be simple because the man that founded it called it Taylor ham. But then the 1962 sort of fairness doctrine for meat said you can't call the Taylor ham Taylor ham. It has to be called by its actual product name, which is pork roll. So it is sort of a ham-ish type of delicacy.
Oh, gosh. I'm sure it tastes lovely, but a ham-ish.
You've heard of Philadelphia scrapple, right?
Oh, yes.
Right. Very delicious, but you probably would not like to be in the room when it's being made. It's sort of like that.
Kind of like potted meat, I guess, but
But I'll tell you what, we take our pork roll very serious.
Of course you do.
People love it. And Mikey Sherrill came out and said, who eats pork roll? And trashed it. Trashed pork roll. I think that has stuck more than at least three legitimate scandals that probably haven't stuck as much as they should have.
Harry, I think the question on everybody's mind, we're watching New Jersey, New York City mayor's race, you've got Virginia. Is New Jersey about to go red?
Yes, I've always felt that way. When you come within 3 points against the incumbent governor, as Jack Cittarelli did 3 years ago against Governor Phil Murphy, and you're running against someone who really no one in the state even knows outside of her small congressional district, Jack Cittarelli, although the polls keep saying otherwise, I think he's the overdog. I think he is going to win. I think he's going to win by at least 3 points. We are going to have a Republican governor, and that's not unusual for New Jersey. New Jersey elects Republicans with great regularity over the past 50-plus years, and Jack Cittarelli will follow in a great tradition of Tom Kaine, of Chris Christie. This is not a unicorn sighting.
Wow. So, well, and that was the last Republican governor elected was, what, Chris Christie?
Correct. Christy Whitman before that. I left her out by accident. So it's almost every other time since 1962, New Jersey switches back to the other side. No party, major party, has won three in a row since 1961. So Jack Cittarelli is in great shape. Early voting is underway. This is day three of in-person early voting. We have 9 days of that in New Jersey. Then you have a couple days off. Then you'll have general election day, Tuesday, November 4th. Cittarelli won on election day 4 years ago, and he got pretty much slaughtered with the early voting and the vote by mail, and still only wound up losing by 3 points. Republicans have fixed the early voting and the vote by mail. Cittarelli has run a great campaign. He's a fantastic candidate, and he's going to be a great governor. The issues are taxes and energy costs, and we win on all of those.
Oh, no doubt about that. And I'm looking here, and I know that some of the early reporting is Democrats were eking out higher in-person voter turnouts. But, I mean, this is all very, very close. And, I mean, this could be anybody's race.
Well, it is, and it's Cittarelli's race. If he's close after the early voting, it's over.
Harry, I'm curious, because we've been watching, it seems like these Democrat mayors, one after another, are endorsing Cittarelli. Is that unusual in New Jersey?
Incredibly unusual, and it's more than 12. There's no one endorsing Mikey Sherrill the other way. So this is truly evidence that Cittarelli has crossover appeal, very attractive candidate. New Jerseyans want to be able to retire and stay. They don't want to work an entire lifetime and then have to get the moving truck out. So this is an election about literally, will you be able to stay for the rest of your life in the home that you've enjoyed, or are you going to have to leave? It's that simple.
Harry Hurley on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Harry, you mentioned the scandals around Mikey Sherrill, and it's really strange. Whatever happened at the can you give us the backstory? Because she keeps changing her story about happened at the Naval Academy.
That's the tricky part. And only she can authorize the release of everything that would clear the air. It's very simple and is very sad, and it was very widespread. There was an elaborate U.S. Naval Academy cheating scandal, academic scandal. There's no evidence whether Mikey Sherrill is an actual participant in cheating. She says no, that she just would not rat out other classmates. But, of course, she's violating the U.S. Naval Academy code. If you're asked to discuss something, you have to be forthcoming. She has not been. Here's what I do know. None of this is all unambiguous on the Todd Starn Show. Mikey Sherrill was not allowed to walk with her graduating class, and her name was not included in the commencement's brochures and all the printed collateral. So she ultimately graduated,
but she did not graduate and walk with her class. That doesn't happen for nothing.
No, it doesn't. And that's very suspect. Now, there's another story from the New York Post. They've been all over this. Cheryl, under scrutiny over her two kids being accepted into the highly competitive Naval Academy. What are the chances? That's the headline for the New York Post.
Well, pretty much if you get a letter, and they don't get all that many each year, but members of Congress each have an opportunity to basically get someone in of their choosing. Now, I can't say whether she exercised undue influence, but I don't think it would be hard for Mikey Sherrill to get a letter of recommendation from another member of Congress. The New York Post is the only member of the media that I'm aware of that dug with any teeth into the scandal. It has not become a part of the campaign, and I think Jack Cittarelli is doing the right thing. You talk about someone's kids, and you're probably, what, you're explaining, so you're losing. He has stayed away from that. As shocking as that revelation in the New York Post is, and it seems to have credibility, no one has touched it, Todd.
Wow. And fair enough, you know, but again, this is about her, and yeah, it seems like she's got enough issues on her own. Harry, I'm curious. I want to switch gears for just a quick second. We were asking Congresswoman Mary Miller about this. We had a caller earlier in the show, and he says his kids are struggling. You know, they don't know, you know, what to do. They can't afford a house. They can't afford, you know, to start out on their own. And Harry, I don't know about you. I've been hearing this a lot from even young conservatives. And I'm wondering if you're sensing that there may be some troubles there with the economy right now.
Well, I mean, certainly for youngsters, if you think about it, and a lot of it goes to our mutual friend, President Trump, because he was a terrific candidate in three straight elections for all age demographics in America. But no Republican until President Trump ever delivered a win in 18 to 29-year-olds. Now, I'm giving President Trump all due credit, but at the same time, this is an age bracket that is probably six figures and more in college loan debt that they can't pay off. And you know how that works. As soon as you get a job, the meter starts running and your monthly payments start. They can't afford the loans. They can't get a house because the debt-to-equity ratio, because of the six figures in student loans, means they can never buy a house, and they feel hopeless. They feel like the American dream is not there for them, and they're right. The system is broken right now as it relates to that age demographic. It's why we need President Trump. It's why we need free market economics, because socialism isn't going so well, Todd.
Well, it's not, but it's about to take hold in New York City, and that's just, you know, when you look at Mamdani and the comparisons to Barack Obama are eerie. The guy came out of nowhere, has never worked in a job, never worked an honest day's living, and yet he's been able to latch on to what you were just talking about. Even conservative students, we were talking to the president of the Young Republicans there at or the College Republicans at NYU, and they say, I mean, the guy is speaking to their generation.
This is scary. He is going to win. It doesn't matter if our friend Curtis Sliwa drops out or doesn't drop out, and Cuomo's not dropping out. If he dropped out, Sliwa wouldn't win. Everybody listening to the Todd Starnes Show understand that Zohran Mamdani will be the next mayor of New York City, and he will be the greatest gift to the Republican Party in probably two or more generations. He'll be the face of the midterm elections. However, I know how much you love New York City, and you worked there for so many years, and you know that it was the greatest city in the world. The destruction to New York City, the flight out of New York City to Florida and elsewhere down south, your neck of the woods, you name it, they're going to be flying out of there as quick as they can. He will be a disaster for New York City. He will be an unbelievable gift to the Republican Party.
Well, no doubt about that. My only concern is, and you know how fickle voters are, and if things are not looking better with the economy and inflation, which is coming down a tick, But if things are still looking tough by the midterms, it could get a little dicey. I'm just a little concerned about what these three elections, you know, are these going to be bellwether elections, or are they all just pretty much, you know, focused on the state issues?
Well, if you think about it, other than George W. Bush, and you got to take that one and cast it aside because of September 11th, 2001, the party in power always loses seats in the midterm election. However, I submit to you and your vast listenership on the Todd Starnes Show that having a Mamdani, the Squad, AOC, this other guy, Fatah, the whole gang, having Bernie Sanders, showing this extreme, what they call Democrat socialism, how bad that is for our country, that's going to power Republicans to keep the House, keep the Senate, two more years of President Trump and a Republican House and Senate. And not just that we will have them to thank for it, but we will also have President Trump's policies to thank for it.
All right, good stuff. Harry, it's good hearing from you, my friend. You know, I was in Disneyland a couple of weeks ago. I thought about you and the missus.
And I was in Disney World a few weeks ago, and I was thinking of you. We had the East and West Coast covered.
There you go. The happiest place on earth, as they say.
Yeah, except for being on your show.
There you go. Harry, all right, Harry, take care of yourself. The great Harry Hurley, everybody, has a street named after him in Atlantic City. I mean, he's that popular. Great guy. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Going to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. This is very interesting about New Jersey and very exciting as well. Harry Hurley says, take it to the bank. It's New Jersey is going red. We'll be right back. Well, there's a fascinating story about FedEx in Revolver, which is a very interesting website. And apparently, and there have been rumblings and reports about this. This is the very first article I've seen that actually explains the turmoil that's happening inside FedEx. And this is just really shocking. But basically, you are watching American workers at FedEx being replaced in a very methodical way by Indians. And the, for example, reading from the article here, a former 10-year corporate employee described a systematic replacement of the American workforce. Internal support and IT staff were 100% American back in 2012. Today, now 70% of support jobs are Indians here or in India. And, of course, the man running the company now is Indian American. And it's fascinating because it starts out with describing life in beautiful Collierville, Tennessee, which is a quintessential southern town. And they're saying that the town is pretty much being overrun now by Indian Americans. And watching these multifamily apartment complexes being built all over the place. According to this report in Revolver, nearly 80% of the students in one local elementary school are now minorities, half of the student body being of Indian descent and requiring English as second language services. The gentleman they interview goes by the name Bob. Bob says the town he planned to raise his own children in is rapidly becoming unrecognizable. You know, this, Dylan, I kid you not, I've been very curious about this, and just it's a curiosity. That's all it is. It's nothing else. But I've noticed when I've been flying back to Memphis from places like Los Angeles and New York, I would say about 70 to 80% of the people on the plane are Indian Americans coming back to Memphis. And I'm like, what's going on here? I didn't realize we had that large of an Indian American population, but this certainly explains it now. But again, the problems at FedEx is, and Collierville is a deep red MAGA town. Any of you who live out there can attest to that. You can testify to that. We had thousands come out to our Charlie Kirk. I've heard new numbers that it was close to 5,000 or 6,000 people at the Charlie Kirk vigil that we were a part of. But now FedEx is dealing with massive layoffs, and they are replacing the American workers with Indian Americans, and things are not going good. The pilots at FedEx having a no confidence vote in the guy in charge now, very disturbing. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, I almost forgot to tell you guys what happened yesterday. It was a lot of fun. So there's a group in the Memphis area called Cop Stop, and they love going around and doing good deeds for police officers. And normally it's dropping by some food or cookies or, you know, whatever. And so we've got a lot of federal agents in town, and we got word that Cop Stop was going to be feeding the federal agent Sunday afternoon down at the ops center. And I said, hey, look, I would love to help. And I just want to, you know, just put me to work somewhere. So Dylan, the guy in charge, or it's a husband and wife team, and the husband is the barbecue master. He's the pit master, and he smoked over 100 pounds of pork shoulder. We call that pork butt.
Wow. That's a lot of meat.
You could smell it. As soon as I pulled into the parking lot, I'm like, holy cow, that's unbelievable. So it's over 100 pounds of meat, and we had all the fixings. We got the coleslaw. We got the potato salad. We got the beans. We got the buns. I was the bun man. I had to handle the buns.
How did you do?
I did pretty well.
Nice. You got it all, you know, situated. I was falling out.
I got the gloves. I got the blue gloves.
Very nice.
No hair nets.
Okay. Well,
there's not much left up there.
No, you're good. You're
but
fine.
You know, it's. And then our good friend Vicky Gandy, she is like, she makes cookies for us all the time here. Brings us cookies
very
to
good.
This. And she made, I think, 150, 200 homemade cookies.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable. So it was such an honor to be able to serve. And we shook every single person there. We shook their hand and said, thank you for coming. And this lady came by and we gave her a plate. And I'm telling you, we know how to load it up here. You're not getting a skimpy pork sandwich here. I mean, we're talking, we got big butts here. I'm talking about the pork, but.
We loaded up in the South.
That came out wrong.
We do have big butts.
We do have big butts. I will not deny. So we, golly, stop laughing.
Do you like them, though?
I like pork butts. I can't deny. So anyway, so this lady comes by, and we gave her the food, and some people, you know, just wanted healthy, so we did it without the butts. So I'm still not sure that was healthy, but, you know, we're not going to quibble. You know, they're putting their lives on the line. They need some good barbecue. So this lady came by, and then she came back about 10 minutes later, and she goes, I got to ask you a question. I said, yes, ma'am. She, are you Todd Stearns? And I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I'm a huge fan of yours. And she works for Homeland Security, and she's based in El Paso, Texas, and she's been here in Memphis. And we follow each other on X, and it was just a great conversation. And it was really, what an honor to be able to meet, you know, some of our fellow listeners who are actually here in Memphis now, you know, rooting out the bad guys.
Todd, I actually met a few during the weekend.
You did?
I went downtown Memphis. So I went to the Grizzlies game, and, you know, they were all around. They were just, you know, protecting. And we passed like three of them walking to our car. And they said, hey, how y'all doing? They dropped a y'all on us.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It was very Southern, very nice.
They told us there were multiple people there, and they told us that the hospitality they have gotten in Memphis is insane. Because, you know, they didn't know what to think. Mm-hmm. And they were telling us that. You know, it's like, you know, we see the news. We didn't know people were going to be marching like in Portland or Chicago. And he goes, everybody here is so incredibly grateful. And that's what we told him. We were like, you just don't know. I think the entire city, we were at wit's end. Yep. And even the black homeowners are the ones that suffered the most here, because that's where a lot of the criminal activity was happening. And these are homeowners. You know, they're out there keeping their lawns pristine and mowing the grass and all that kind of, making sure the trash is out on trash day. They're concerned about property values. They don't want the gangbangers up and down their streets. Nobody wants that. But nobody's listening. Nobody. Well, they're listening now. I can tell you that much. So it was really a neat thing. So then we get word yesterday that, because the hospitality, we have a lot of bars and hear me on this, folks, bars and barbecue joints and other places. And you walk in there and you, if you're in uniform, you're a man or a woman in uniform and you try to pay for your meal, they may slap you because your money's no good in Memphis. I mean, that's how much we love and appreciate our, I hope you know, if you've got a son or a daughter or a spouse and they're in Memphis and they're serving, we're taking very good care of these folks, but they don't pay for anything. I mean, that's how we do things here. So anyway, a lot of restaurants are now coming under fire because they're giving out meals to the National Guard. And these activist groups are rearing their ugly head. And now there are apparently some black-owned businesses, and these are all owned by radicals. There's a place called, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this, Da Sandwich Spot, which I believe in English means the sandwich spot. But it's called Da Sandwich. Sandwich. Want a sandwich? Da Sandwich Spot. And they call themselves a black-owned, they identify as a black-owned business and resource hub. And they have now put a sign up on the front of their establishment. No ICE access in this business. Private property, entry restricted by law. And they're telling all law enforcement and immigration agents they are not welcome inside their restaurant. And they have they have plastered this sign on the door. Someone just sent this to me in the break. This is a private business. You are not permitted to enter non-public areas of this business. Really? I'm fairly certain that badge kind of gets you where you need to be. An ICE administrative warrant does not authorize entry into private areas of this business. You may not question employees or search the premises without proper legal authority. Well, I believe President Trump gave him that authority. All employees and visitors have the right to remain silent and the right to an attorney. You know who's about to get a visit from ICE. And I don't think they're coming for the sandwiches, if you know what I mean. So anyway, this is ridiculous. But again, they say, if you enter, you are trespassing and we will seek legal recourse. What are you going to do? Arrest them? Citizens arrest. You can't come into the sandwich shop. Go away. I'm not sure that's going to work. I really don't. Anyway, there are a few yahoos out there, but by and large, I'm just going to tell you, we are so thankful, and we certainly appreciate it. I don't want to speak for my city, but thank you for standing alongside President Trump and his decision to send in the Guard. And I hope if your city is just as bad as Memphis is, I hope the president sends the Guard there as well. I really do. San Francisco, you guys deserve so much better. You got to stop electing radical Democrats, but you deserve so much better. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I've got to play this audio, and we're going to get to Ma'am Dami in just a minute. CBS News in Sacramento did a story on the growing threat. Hold on now. You got to hear me on this. The growing threat to Sikh truck drivers. So these are the guys, these are the 62,000 that are getting these CDLs that are not qualified. And a lot of the Sikh truck drivers, not a lot, some of the Sikh truck drivers are out there causing these awful accidents. But now CBS News says, well, yeah, the Sikhs are actually the victims. Take a listen.
Anti-Sikh rhetoric spiked, but legally working Sikh drivers say they're just safely doing their jobs.
Your reporter Madison Keevy is live for us with answers from a Sikh community leader on the growing threats and harassment. He fears may force good drivers to just quit. Right, Madison?
Right, Marley, Sikh truck drivers across the state of California are on high alert. They're the backbone of this industry. And when you look at the West Coast, they make up nearly half of all drivers. That's according to that industry leader based right here out of Lathrop. But after those two deadly crashes, many are left worried and wondering if they should keep driving.
The roadway risks for Sikh truck drivers is growing, heightened by two deadly crashes where undocumented Sikh drivers have been accused of causing the chaos in just 3 months.
I'm not defending anyone. I mean, if anyone did mistake, they should pay for it. They should serve whatever they, you know, they did. But don't punish everyone just because of one person.
Raman Dhillon is the CEO of the North American Punjabi Trucking Association, made up of more than 2,000 members.
Do your drivers feel safe leaving California?
Absolutely not. They are not feeling safe. A lot of good drivers, a lot of drivers, a lot of people that we work with every day.
Dhillon says when it comes to the state's commercial driver's license test system, there's room for improvement, specifically when it comes to the English language proficiency. These tests in California are able to be taken in multiple languages. But that does make some problems for drivers
that don't
speak English because all of the highway and road signs are in English. He says he's trying to address this and improve English language for all drivers by offering free English classes out of Stockton.
What in the name of tandoori chicken's going on in California? You're telling me that the English proficiency test is in another language other than English? What are these people smoking over there? Jeez, Lou. All right. I got to calm down. I got to get my blood pressure under control here. By the way, AOC last night had a big rally, a communist jihadist rally. AOC is out there screaming like a wild banshee. And she was moving around on the stage. And I know a little something about this, but you never want to be off-putting, right, in your mannerisms because it makes your audience nervous. And I'm just saying that the way she moved and the way she sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? She kind of, she puckered up a little bit, like she was trying to stop herself from peeing, right? It looked like she had to go to the bathroom. And that's the vibe that she was sending out. Here's AOC cut number 9.
Jews escaping Holocaust, Black Americans fleeing slavery and Jim Crow, Latinos seeking a better life, Native people standing for themselves, Asian Americans coming together in Queens, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, in Staten Island, in this country.
Wow. You saw the accent came out there. You know, she's got the, she does the voices like Jasmine Crockett there. Oh, we haven't heard from Jasmine in a while, have we? So AOC just wanted to make sure you guys did understand this one thing. Cut number 10.
But we must remember in a time such as this, we are not the crazy ones, New York City. We are not the outlandish ones, New York City. They want us to think we are crazy. We are sane.
Yeah. AOC, that woman, she be bat crap crazy. All right. So Zohran is now playing the Islamophobia card. And he held a press conference where he wept openly. It was, I mean, truly moving. Let's hear Zohran. This is all, this is about life, what it was like for Zohran Mamdani's auntie in the aftermath of the Muslim terrorist attacks of 2001.
I want to speak to the memory of my aunt. Who stopped taking the subway after September 11th because she did not feel safe in her hijab.
So, according to Zohran, his aunt was the true victim of 9/11. not the thousands of people who were killed in the towers or in the hijacked airplanes. By the way, airplanes that were hijacked by Muslims who wanted to wage jihad on American soil in the name of their religion, the so-called religion of peace. Now, it's interesting because J.D. Vance, the vice president, came out and he had some pretty tough words for Mandami. Here's what he said. According to Zohran, the real victim of 9/11 was his auntie, who got some allegedly bad looks. New York Times reporting on this as well, accusing Mr. Vance of attacking, the vice president of attacking Mamdani. Vance also criticized Mamdani last week for meeting with a well-known imam who happens to be an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center terrorist bombing. The imam was never charged in the case. Regardless, he was an unindicted co-conspirator. Now, I want to go back to the auntie for just a moment, because it turns out, according to numerous reports on social media now, it turns out that the auntie story where you heard Mamdami, he was getting weepy. I mean, it was emotional, talking about his beloved aunt who was getting what, heckled or just, no, not even heckled. She was getting stares on the New York City subway. Well, it turns out that Auntie was not even in New York City on 9/11. As a matter of fact, she wasn't anywhere near New York City on 9/11. She was working in Tanzania. And also, it turns out that Auntie did not wear a hijab. So Mamdami just made the whole thing up, every single bit of it. He just made it up, lying with abandon. It's remarkable. But I'm telling you, as I watched all of this unfold, by the way, the guy's almost 35 years, I believe he's 34 years old. 34 years old, he has never held a job. Do you understand? Never held a job. What is going on there? What is going on? Well, we're going to talk more about that coming up in the next hour. And there are a lot of people that are very concerned about what's going to happen to New York City. And it very well may be that the greatest, you know, the number one city in America is destroyed. 901-260-5926. I have to tell you, President Trump is right. What is he right about, Todd? Well, I'm glad you asked. He's loving Newsmax. Millions of you are tuning into Newsmax. They're watching Newsmax on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, where you can watch my show. And they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more as we expose the big media lies in the Washington swamp. And they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made us great. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes literally seconds to start. Let President know that you stand with Newsmax for real news for real people. All right, hang tight, everybody. We will be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Man, this has been just a busy, busy day. Just a lot of news we've been trying to get to. So, Zohran Mamdani is out there, and it looks like this guy has the big momentum. And the polling data, it's not good for the Republicans. They're in dead last place, and it's just going to take a miracle. And I just don't see this. I don't see it happening. The problem is that when you look at Mamdani's rally he held last night, and thousands of people turned out for that thing, just look at the back of the crowd. You saw it looked like the United Nations seated behind him. And that's because Mamdani got all of the foreign people vote in New York City. Those are the people that are backing him. So anyway, and the reason why is Mamdani wants to give everybody free stuff. Cut number three.
Here is what we stand for, my friends. We are going to freeze the rent for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants and use every resource at our disposal to build housing for everyone who needs it. We are going to eliminate the fare on every single bus line and make what are currently the slowest buses in the nation move around this city with ease. And we are going to create universal child care at no cost to parents so New Yorkers can raise their family in the city they love. Together, New York, we're going to freeze the... Together, New York, we're going to make buses fast and... Together, New York, we're going to deliver universal... We will make our city one where every person who calls it home can live a dignified life.
Wow. It's just shocking because none of this is free. All of it will be paid for by taxes, and there will be massive tax increases. Mamdani wants to raise taxes specifically on the wealthy and the white. So if you fall into one or both of those categories, you better start packing your bags and getting out of town quick. But look, here's the deal. They're talking about wanting to make the subway and make the buses free. And Mamdani explains why he wants to do that. Take a listen. Cut two.
You have a fare box on a bus. It increases a site of tension, of conflict, of assaults. When you remove that fare box, rather, what you find is a safer experience, not just for the riders, but also for the operators.
So he's saying that the fare box, so when you get on board a subway, or you know, you've got to swipe your card and then it lets you in, or you've got to put money there and you'll be allowed onto the bus. And Mamdani is saying that those fare boxes are a temptation for the criminals. I mean, have we not heard this before? Where they were telling people, the Democrats were telling folks, don't go out for a night out on the town and wear your best jewelry. You want to leave all that at home because you don't want to tempt the bad guys. That's what they're saying here. But look, they have tried to freeze rent, and whenever they have done that, whenever the government stepped in and frozen rent, guess what happens? I'm telling you right now, folks, it's not going to be good. Because what's going to happen is they're going to start turning a lot of those rentals into condos. They're going to start selling them at a much higher price, and you're going to have a big problem with people trying to find a place to live in New York City. As far as making the buses free, look, the only time that the subways actually worked correctly and did not need a government handout was when the subways were created. And the original subways in New York City were private. They were privatized. When they wanted to raise the fare from a nickel to 10 cents, the people rose up. The government stepped in and said, you know what, we believe we can do this better. And now the fares are $3 a day. So you went from a nickel to $3. And the subways are in the toilet. It's a bad situation right now in New York City. And maybe just maybe, this may be watching the nation's largest city collapse under communism and a jihadist. Maybe, just maybe, that will be enough to wake people up. I don't know. I hope so. But I want you to hear from Zohran Mamdani's father himself, because something's not right here. And by the way, you know, he still has dual citizenship. And as someone pointed out yesterday, I don't know who did this, and I wish I could give them credit, but I will, you know, we're giving you credit, whoever you are, anonymous person. But they said, you know, why is it that Zohran Mamdani hasn't condemned and hasn't rejected his Ugandan citizenship? Why hasn't he renounced that? And I say that because in Uganda right now, it is a crime to be gay. You can actually be executed for being gay. So why is it that Mamdani, if he really loves America, if he really loves the LGBT community, why hasn't he renounced the citizenship in his home country, which is Uganda? Here's Zohran Mamdani's father talking about how America is the root of all evil. Cut number 12.
America is the genesis of what we call settler colonialism. And the American model was exported all around the world. Abraham Lincoln generalized the solution of reservations. They herded American Indians into separate territories. For the Nazis, this was the inspiration. Hitler realized two things. One, that genocide was doable. It is possible to do genocide. That's what Hitler realized. Second thing Hitler realized is that you don't have to have a common citizenship. You can differentiate between people. The Nuremberg laws were patterned after American laws. Anyway, the U.S. put Indians in reservations. The U.S. invented the model.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think the apple fell far from that tree. I really don't. You say, Todd, where is all of this going? Well, I want to play a clip from a notorious Islamist who lives here in the United States. Cut number 5.
We're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
No, that is false. That is a lie. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. I want to say something for just a moment. This all took place not in Saudi Arabia. What you just heard, not Saudi Arabia, not Dearborn, Michigan. That was in Times Square, ladies and gentlemen, where we had thousands of Muslims. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but there has now been a trend of all of these American Muslims taking to the streets for their prayers. Have you noticed that in some of these big cities where they'll just thousands of them will just gather and pray in the streets? And a lot of people are thinking, oh, well, that's just so special. And it's a demonstration of how devout they are in their faith. No, it's not. It's sending a message that we are here and we are here to conquer. Now, I say that because this is not the way prayers are conducted in Saudi Arabia. Muslims do not pray in the streets there because it's considered illegal and disruptive. It's rude. And whenever there are large events, they'll shut down the streets because the mosques are full, and then they will pray in the streets, but those streets are blocked off, so they're able to do that. But what you see happening in America, what you see happening in London and Paris and Belgium and in Germany, which has pretty much been overrun right now, this is a sign that they are coming for us. And you better wake up, ladies and gentlemen. You better wake up and pay attention. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Well, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I actually have two comments, two questions. I was listening to the program, I think it was Monday of last week, and you were warning about the takeover and how we must, you know, stand against it. How do we do that when property owners are selling, leasing, renting these people, you know, real estate, whether to live in or to open up their stores or to mosque? I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport and at Bush Intercontinental, there's actually a mosque slash Muslim prayer room in the airport.
Well, I'll tell you something about that, that it's a chapel. It's supposed to be a non-denominational chapter, but I will say this, and Mike, this is insane. A good friend of mine, a pastor, was going to pray. He was in Dallas. He was attending the funeral for Vodi Bakum, who was a great evangelical leader. And I'll be doggone if he walked in and the Muslims had taken over, and they refused to allow the Christian pastor into that chapel at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
Oh, I know, but my question is we're selling ourselves out. In other words, Texans and then Americans are selling them real estate to inhabit, whether it be for a mosque or a place to live, or like in Epic City here in Texas, you know, north of Houston. You know, who in the world decided to sell them the land? I mean, in other words, we're selling ourselves out.
Yes. Yes, we are. First of all, I think we have to have an immediate ground stop on all immigration from Muslim countries. No Muslims can immigrate to America. Then we've got to sort through and figure out who among the naturalized citizens here are among those calling for jihad, that are saying death to America. You mentioned Dallas, Arlington, Texas. Someone just sent me this. There was video of Muslims in Arlington, Texas, saying that if you say anything about the Prophet Muhammad, you should get death. I mean, this is happening in the great state of Texas. This is your home state.
Well, I have another comment. Actually, it's part of a letter to the editor I wrote and sent into the Galveston County Daily News, which Texas's oldest newspaper, but they're not going to print it because it's probably too controversial. But in the letter, I wrote, there were 6 days of creation, and God rested on the seventh. His work was finished. 6,000 years have passed. The year 2000 actually put us into the seventh millennium. And if a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day unto the Lord, that means humanity has run its course. And if you look up, you know, if you look at the term Antichrist, it literally means counterfeit Christ. God's covenant was with Abraham and Sarah, which produced Isaac. The counterfeit covenant would be Abraham's union with Hagar, which produced Israel. Now, Jesus was in the lineage of Isaac. If Satan wishes to produce an exact counterfeit to Christ, he would have to be a descendant of Ishmael and 30 years of age when he steps onto the world's stage.
All right, look.
And my question is,
let's get to it.
Is this what the global Muslim invasion is trying to set up?
Yeah, well, yes, I believe this is all about global conquering the entire world, and that's what we're seeing. Look, here's the thing, Mike. We've seen this play out, and I was talking about this till I've been blue in the face. Pay attention to what's happening across Western Europe, because they would not shut down their borders, and now you go to London, you go to Paris, it looks like you're in the middle of the Middle East. They've lost their countries, and I don't think the UK can recover from this. I really don't. So, Mike, I am incredibly troubled, because this is going to when this happens, and understand what's about to happen, you're going to have two major American cities that will be controlled by Muslim mayors, and these are socialist Islamists. You heard Ali Stefanik, Congressman Randy Fine, say that he's a jihadist. You've got Minneapolis, and you've got New York City. It will happen very fast, Mike, unless the government steps in and says, hold up, we've got to address a very clear and present danger to the republic.
Well, if you've ever read Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth, he wrote about this in his book, and that was published in 1973, that the Middle East conflict would go from being a Middle Eastern thing to a global thing.
And we're bringing them right in. We're giving them first-class tickets. Come on to America. And nobody's assimilating, right? Nobody assimilated in London. Nobody assimilated in Ireland. Nobody's assimilating in Paris and France. And when you look at what's happening in the UK right now, it's like George Orwell. They're hauling people off to jail for even saying something that might offend Muslims. This is happening in the UK. You get a Democrat like a Kamala Harris, and I'll tell you what concerned me. I saw the ticket. I think I saw the 2028 ticket here. If Mandami gets elected, and it's a big win, do not be surprised if you see an AOC Mandami ticket for the Democrats for the presidency, because they're the ones that are ultimately controlling the party right now. Mike, I got to run. Thank you for that. You know what? We're going to hang tight. I want to hang tight because I want to get to Justin and Ron. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. But look, here's the deal. Why are you coming to our country to change it? That's the question I have. Most immigrants, and throughout the history of our great republic, most immigrants, they came here to claim the American dream. They wanted to assimilate. They wanted to learn the language. They wanted to learn the culture. Oh, yeah, make no mistake about it. They brought the best parts of the old country, no doubt about that. But now we have people coming into this country, and they say, we hate America, and we're going to change it. I'm like, okay, go back to where you came from, please. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our number. This is The Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go right back to the phones, 901-260-5926. Justin in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Justin. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Hey, I just want to just comment on the whole mayoral race in New York City. I think this is just the beginning where we're going to start seeing big takeovers over our American cities of ideology of Mandami. So, you know, I live here in Tennessee, and I never thought I would see this happen. So this past weekend, I took a mini vacation with my family to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And literally, majority of the time of places where I was in Gatlinburg, I was the minority there. The majority of people that were there were Indian immigrants. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves. We've done this to ourselves with HB1 visas. Where we allow the American worker to be replaced, which is what's done is gut out the middle class American economy, because just average day Americans can't compete with the wages that they're going to pay HB1. I mean, we've seen this, for instance, where I live in Tennessee with FedEx. The majority of FedEx, even the town I live in, Collierville, we have some elementary classes. I've heard reports that are majority immigrant kids from India. So when we wake up one day and we're the minority in our own country, and culturally everything changed. I mean, even in Gatlinburg, I visited the Cades Cove historic churches. Guess where the Indian immigrants were not visiting? The churches, because they're just totally different from just regular American citizens. So until we realize or stop the invasion that's happening in our country illegally and legally, we're going to be replaced.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up. I mentioned the FedEx story that, and we read a good chunk of that story. And what, you know, what those H-1B visas are doing to companies like FedEx, where they're just replacing. I mean, you talk about replacement theory. That's actually happening in companies like FedEx.
Yeah, and they don't care. Like, I spoke to recently one of my friends that had a son that graduated from Ole Miss with an IT degree. And he's applied for countless jobs, like this professionally what his father has done for years. And they, if you're an American citizen, they won't even give you a callback. What we should be talking about is how they're openly discriminating against the American worker, because that's what is happening.
All right, Justin, it's a great point. And again, it was just shocking for me coming back to Memphis and saw that that was, you know, I'm like, wow, where are all these Indian folks going? And there has been a massive influx, you know, here into Western Tennessee. And I think you're right. We bear responsibility for what's happening in our country.
Yeah, we should. What we should do is, as local governments, stop giving pilots payment in lieu of taxes to these corporate companies that come, because we're paying for it. We're basically paying for them not to pay taxes. So stop giving them the incentives, the pilot programs, and put a stop to this and give the natural born citizens here a chance to even live.
Well, that's it. All right, Justin, thanks for the call. 901-260-5926. Let's go to James in Mooresville, North Carolina. WSIC is our station there. Hi, James. What's up?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned a few minutes ago about a possible AOC Mamdani ticket for 2028. And
I was being somewhat facetious, but somewhat facetious because he was not born here, so he cannot run for the presidency. But okay, he can run for Congress.
Okay, well, thank you for that, because that's what I wanted to touch on, because I didn't think that he was a natural-born U.S. citizen.
No. No, he's actually born in Uganda. I was being a little facetious there, but I was also riled up, so it may not have come across like that.
Yeah, but I don't think they wouldn't try to pull that off. Obama pulled it off.
Well, some would say it hasn't been the first. That's not the first time it's been tried, so... just saying. But you know, isn't it interesting though, James, there is a mechanism to actually revoke or rescind, denaturalize a U.S. citizen. So that is a possibility. But I think it's striking that here's a guy, and just think about this for a second, James. New York City, the largest city in America, one of the largest cities in the world. This guy became a naturalized U.S. citizen in 2018, has never held a single job, and he's about to become the leader of one of the largest cities in the world. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it's just very unsettling. And really, there is no clear-cut good favorite for mayor right now. Even Slee doesn't. You know, I don't think he would even be that good, to tell you the truth.
What a disaster that guy. That guy is like, he's worse than a Mitt Romney rhino. I mean, just insane, that guy. But he's the Republican nominee. Nobody else wanted to run.
Yeah. Well, I guess you got to go with him. I guess I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just a train wreck of a mayoral race in New York City right now.
Big time. Big time. All right, James, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I think you should change the name of Man Dummy to Mud Dummy, because all he's doing is slinging fecal material from Uganda to our country. And what I wanted to address is basically the truck driving situation. I'm worried very badly that these accidents are intentional. Because with these invaders, they especially the ones I work with, offloading Christmas trees for certain companies during the Christmas season, they don't have respect. They do not, and I just learned that they also, whether Pujip Sikhs, and I love everybody, and I judge them by their character, not each one at a time. But overall, what I'm seeing is with the accident that happened down in Ontario, California, right where I grew up at 47 years ago, theft and killed that family. That was very atrocious. What happened just early Sunday morning, there was two accidents off I-5 and off of 99, Highway 99. And it's pretty coincidental. And what I find also is that a lot of times these people, whether if they're from Canada or right or from various companies right out of Yuba City, California, they shine with they ride with the bright lights on, and being my state has been the capitalized with Senate Bill 48 and House Bill 1510 to let law enforcement, state police do their job unless there's an accident. It's atrocious. And to enable that type of behavior, if you're not going to be loyal to this country and you're naturalized, you should do like what they did in the 60s and 70s, almost to the early 80s, where they kicked them out. It's time to stop being lukewarm catfish and flouting around like a guppy, and it's time to be the land shark, but be the lion that we're called to be to keep liberty and the flames going.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ron. It is, look, it's this is a crucial moment in American history, and I think we are at a pivot point here, and we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a country do we want to be? And right now, when you look, I'm with you. I don't care what your religion is. As long as your religion doesn't want to blow my religion up, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. And I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot here in Memphis, Tennessee. We got more pork than you can shake a stick at. So I think we're pretty safe from the terrorist. I don't know. But I will say that it is a serious situation. And we need to take a long, hard look at our immigration policies and why we're inviting these people into our country, especially those who literally want to destroy our way of life. I'm talking about you, Ilhan Omar. All right. Thanks for that, Ron. 901-260-5926. I want to play this again from James Carville. Cut number four.
All of these collaborators should be shaved, pajamaed, and spit on.
This man is a party elder within the Democrats. The James Carville was the campaign manager that got Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, elected. This man's words carry a lot of weight. I know that he looks like a clown on TV and he talks like he's, you know, Barney Fife. I get that. But his words matter. And when you've got James Carville, you know, again, he's using language and rhetoric from the 1930s to explain what he wants to do with all of you Trump supporters, all of us Trump supporters, that we ought to be shaved, we ought to be put in pajamas, we should be marched through the street so people could spit on us. Who does that? What kind of a person thinks that way? It's just insane. All right, let's go to Angie in Clemson, South Carolina. Hi, Angie. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Well, Todd, there's just one thing I've got to say. I believe Mondami will definitely become the mayor, but what this is a judgment from God on the people of New York City. They've turned their faces away from God, and you can see this, how judgment comes by doing that in the Bible. And I believe Obama, Biden, Clinton were all judgments against God, of the people here in the United States. So that's all I really wanted to say, and it's very negative, but, you know, we've done so many horrible things in the United States, starting with abortion and just all the murder and making things legal that are, how can I say, horrific in God's eyes and against his laws. So it's time for judgment on God's part, I believe.
You know, you do wonder if there is a spiritual component, you know, to all of this, because, you know, this guy literally comes out of nowhere. I mean, nowhere, you know, 35 years old, just became a naturalized citizen, in 2018. And now he's on the cusp of being the leader of the largest city in America. Angie, it's just, you know, I don't believe in coincidences.
I don't either. Can I say, I really think you are you're so good at saying the right things at the right time, the majority of time, and I love how you verbalize exactly what it is that people are saying. And I just want to say thank you, God, for you.
Well, you are very kind, Angie, and thank you for those very nice words. And you know, we try. That's what we do here. I just say what's on my mind, and you can agree or disagree. And if you feel either way, you can call up and give me a piece of your mind. So, Angie, thank you for that. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I've got to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile. They're doing some really incredible work for the country, and I really appreciate the work they're doing. You know, there are so many people that are out there launching new cell phone companies. They've been around for a very long time, more than 12 years now. And Patriot Mobile has been on the front lines every single day fighting for our God-given rights and freedom. You see them at all the conservative, all the Christian conferences. And they've got hundreds of thousands of subscribers now. They make switching so easy. You can activate your phone in minutes from the comfort of your home. You get to keep your number. You get to keep your phone. You can even upgrade if you'd like to upgrade. All you have to do is give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or you can go online, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Now, look, if you are going to make the switch, you're going to be asked about a promo code. I want you to enter my first name, Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service. That's right, a free month of service. Got to use that promo code, Todd. We'll be right back. Quite appropriate music for this next story, because Gavin Newsom would want you to think that he is a funky white boy. And Gavin Newsom is getting ready to run for president. No doubt about it. He's dropping hints all over the place. So now he's trying to convince all of you fine folk that he grew up impoverished and that he was just like the... he's just like one of the bros. He sat down for a podcast, and I want you to listen. He's developed a new accent, much like Jasmine Crockett. You know, we haven't heard Jasmine Crockett's theme song in forever.
Shuckin' and jiving.
Ow! Good, good. Well, thank you for that, Dylan. I just a little... makes me, puts a pep in my step. So anyway, Gavin Newsom is out there, and he's suggesting that he grew up a poor white boy in California. Cut 13, please.
But also, you know, it was also about paying the bills, man. And it was just like hustling. Mm-hmm. And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV, started, you know, just getting obsessed, you know, sitting there with the, you know, the Wonder Bread and five stacks of,
man,
you know,
like the White Stack Bob story.
Come on, man. Come on. Half macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Man, I know, good, man. Bro. Yeah. Are you talking about me?
Young YG.
YG, but man.
Every day in the backyard, just bouncing the basketball, throwing the ball against the wall until the ball is just like framed, man. And your arms
yourself.
Off. That's it. Whole thing. So just, and then, you know, then this student that was is in the back with his head down, all of a sudden started throwing the baseball a little faster than everyone else and started, you know, make a few free throws because I was sitting there practicing 500 of them every damn night. And in high school, I look up in the stands, my dad's back up there.
Okay. Dope.
And it's like, man. And then he's bringing his friends and you're captain of the team and you're like, geez, you know, and it just saved me and it got me into college.
Okay, first of all, he's got daddy issues. So he's telling me that his dad only came to the games when he got good. He wasn't there through the good and the bad. What's up with that? Anyway, here's the deal. That's a load of hooey. You know, you know what? He says he was sitting there eating Wonder Bread and mac and cheese, Kraft mac and cheese. That's a load of hooey. If he was eating mac and cheese, it was like Gruyere and all these high-dollar cheeses because his father was the corporate attorney for Getty Oil. The family was loaded. Loaded, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's just like Zohran Mamdani, right? Mamdani, you know, he's claims that he goes around and he grew up eating food with his fingers. That's again a load of hooey because we know his mother is a very wealthy, very successful filmmaker. Daddy, very successful as well. So they're lying to you. And they do this thinking that you're not going to do your homework, that you're not going to go in and do a deep dive on who Gavin Newsom really is. Very bad people here. And all that to say, this is why Donald Trump is actually loving the thought of running for a third term in office. I mean, it's just remarkable. Hey, look, folks, I want to encourage you to head over to our website, toddstearns.com. We have so much great material, incredible stories for you to check out, and I hope that you do that. By the way, download our podcast and our newsletter free of charge. And if you're looking for a great little Christmas gift, I want to encourage you to get a copy of my new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can order wherever you buy your books. You can also get a signed copy over at toddstearns.com. Just click on our store. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, we have Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. She'll be joining us. Also, our good buddy Jeff Katz out of Richmond, Virginia. We've got a jam-packed show for you, and we will see you back here tomorrow on the radio. Get out there and be good, America.